Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, we are back, and never a dull moment here on the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you for listening. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I had an email I wanted to read to you. Very interesting, and I had it here a second ago, and wouldn't you know? All right, well, I may have to come back to that. But 888-914-9149 is the number. Let's go to Joe in Jonesboro, Georgia. Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, in light of all the false teachings and false evidence of spiritual things being sent out today, do you think it's a good idea to buy one of those electronic voice lie detectors so that you can tell if somebody's lying to you when they when you first meet them? I've seen a lot of people claiming to be church prophets, church teachers, and they're all false and end up teaching things that destroy communities. Mm. Isn't it better to know before you get involved with someone that they're not who they say they are? Rather than
That's a fascinating question. Joe, I've never even thought about that before. So how would you get... Here's my question. I guess on a practical level, let's say you're talking to somebody you hadn't met before and you're talking. How would you convince him to get hooked up to the lie detector in the first place?
That's the beauty of these new ones, that you don't have to. It works on even from a tape recorder. You can just let them talk in a normal tone of voice. Mm-hmm. And the computer in it can tell whether or not they're lying. And you can get one from any spy shop just about and order them. And I heard a joke about a pastor that was having so many problems, people lying to him. Mm-hmm. He went to a spy shop and bought one. And they said, when someone lies, it looks like a lamp. But when they lie, it'll blink. And about a week later, he brought it back. He said, "What didn't work?" He said, "No, I kept getting dizzy from all the blinking." So you see, you have to be able to tell. That's what the Bible says. One of the greatest spiritual gifts is discernment, to know when someone's lying to you and putting your life and your spiritual life in danger. And I think we need that more in light of the Jim Jones issue and a bunch of other things that have happened recently. Mm-hmm. We need to be aware of when someone is not who they say they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting what technology can do for us nowadays, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Now, have you known that if the person, the cardinal who authorized gay priests, if he'd known what he was really getting into, what that person was lying to him, he would avoid a whole lot of problems inside the Catholic Church. He wouldn't have their own citizens suing him for about $3 billion.
The Catholic Church definitely has a lot of problems in that regard, Joe, no doubt about it. A lot of scandalous things have happened. But I'll leave you with something uplifting, I hope, and that is what we put our faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified. So ultimately, even though there may be some people in the church who do bad things, and we certainly have some of those, our eyes are fixed on Christ, for he is our salvation, not cardinals or priests or bishops or lay people or radio hosts or anyone else like that. It's Jesus. Anyway, thank you, Joe. Interesting conversation. I'm glad you called today. Thank you. Let's go to Mary now, waiting patiently in Austin. Mary, thank you for your patience and welcome.
Hello there.
I wonder if Mary's not ready.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Okay, why don't we see if we can come back to Mary when the phone signal is sorted out. Let's go to Andrew now in Hyde Park. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Patrick. Just on the points with the vaccine cards, you're giving the state and people that want to do you, potentially want to do you harm, a lever against you to keep you silent, to keep you afraid. They can prosecute you, and you're making yourself into a mess there. And I understand why people
I am,
it, but a couple.
Me personally, or just the rhetorical you?
No, the rhetorical you, meaning that, you know, if you do one of these vaccine cards, I think California had some raised it to a felony with a huge fine and everything else, and it's just a horrible situation to be in. And I would agree with the people, say, if we all stood up and say, this is that right, these mandates are immoral, this is an this was a untested, a long-tested, long-term effects experimental vaccine, which turned out to be just a therapy that's non-sterilizing, that didn't prevent infection. You know, if everyone stood up and said, then, no, this is wrong, you know, I understand why people didn't, but if more of us stood up and said this was wrong and it shouldn't have been doing that. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just to be, I'm not even sure the right word, fair, I guess. Don't forget that the Pope, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, the bishops all said to people who had moral qualms, moral scruples, they gave a very clear outline saying these vaccines are immoral and these vaccines are not immoral. And they gave the reasons why and they broke it down. And so there are so many people, I'm thinking about Catholic folk, who sought the church's moral guidance on this issue. They received it and they acted in accordance with that. And they were seeking to do the right thing. So it's not as though they did something immoral. They did not do anything immoral. They did not transgress God's law by doing that. That's an important part of the conversation. Otherwise, it gives the appearance, and I don't know if you intended this, Andrew, but I just want to make sure we don't give that appearance, that those people who in good conscience were vaccinated, that they did anything wrong. They did not do anything
I understand that. My point was the mandating part of it was immoral. It's against informed consent.
I agree.
You know, at the time these rolled out, I think the conversation should have been, I understand why you got it, and saying in response, I understand why you didn't get it, and that should have been the end of the conversation. And these mandates were completely immoral from that standpoint, because it was an experimental vaccine from companies
I understand.
Yeah. So I wanted to jump into what we should be concerned about in terms of, you know, the rise of Marxism, communism in the United States that's evidenced in California and New York, where I live, and what their plans, long-term plans are, and historically what the problem is, and what we see the persecution of the church. I mean, with these 87,000 IRS agents, nonprofits with a Christian basis and nonprofit and churches should be very concerned about these 87 IRS agents. And what I hear from the far left, meaning Marxists and communists, wanting to tax the churches, tax the nonprofits, and going after them and using these agents against free speech, speech in the church, speech with these nonprofits.
Yeah,
and I think we all should be concerned about the plans, long-term plans that they have, and why they're putting 87,000 IRS agents in the government right now.
I understand. And I don't disagree that there is certainly cause for concern in many respects, this being one of them. But there's nothing, practically speaking, that you and I can do about that, Andrew, other than vote. And how you vote, of course, has a long-term effect on things. For the short term, there's nothing we can do about that one way or the other, except be honest in our dealings, be honest in paying your taxes, whatever taxes you owe, pay them. Don't falsify any records. Don't falsify your tax returns. I mean, this whole thing about the vaccine card and faking a vaccine card, let's use this as a parallel. You may say, well, it's immoral that the federal government is spending some of my tax money on abortion. Therefore, I'm going to falsify my tax records. I'm going to submit bogus tax returns or they're inaccurate, intentionally inaccurate, that would be another example of doing something immoral to try to achieve a good end, which is to deprive the government of some of my money that's going for abortion. It's not the solution to the problem. So to your point, Andrew, I think that the one practical thing that all the nonprofits can do is run a tight ship, be honest, tell the truth, don't fudge, don't falsify anything. And that is going to be the single greatest protection for any church, diocese, nonprofit organization. If you tell the truth and you do the right thing, you're not in danger from those 86,000 IRS agents.
Well, I would just suggest this, based upon history and everything else, and what's going on, at least in New York that I see, a lot of people who, you know, the church talking about against abortion, they are claiming that it's political speech, and because it's political, they saying it's political speech, the churches should lose their nonprofit status.
That's, I understand. Believe me, Andrew, I understand, and there's no way that we can litigate any of that on the program. There's all I'm saying is right, I get it. But there's nothing, practically speaking, that you can do. What are you going to do? How are you going to stop that juggernaut?
Well, part of the thing is calling your show and telling Catholics to get off the couch and stop and make sure that they're in tune with what's going on and what the long term strategy is, and make sure they get out and vote and make sure that they do the right thing, or we're going to lose this country. We're going to lose our free speech.
Andrew, I understand, but this is an endless conversation. I understand what you're saying, but after a while, we can only say the same thing so many times. We should pray, be honest, do the right thing. And yes, I agree with you. We should vote according to our Catholic moral principles. Let's hope that it works. Let's hope that there's still time. Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it. Let's go to Eric now in Tujunga. Good morning. I love the name of that town. Tujunga, California. Just rolls off the Tujunga. Welcome, Eric.
We say Tujunga. Wood. Hey, Patrick, I want to get small with you.
And I mean, oh, I want to get, is that a Steve
really
Martin reference?
Small. Yes, sir. You just opened me up yesterday. I completely related to you saying about with a chapter in your book, The Jerk, how you were influenced by him, and you know, the whole thing. Me too, man. I mean, that guy, he we're about the same age. I'm a little older, and I went to school being Steve Martin, which wasn't really me.
You're and a wild and crazy guy.
Just so I could fit in. And it worked because my dad is a amazing communicator, and he taught me how to, I taught myself, but I never used my gift. I used it in so many different directions. It's probably why I've been fired from every job I've ever had. Until, of course, I started my own business 10 years ago, and then things got better. But I just wanted to say what you shared really opened me up, and even your show. I just started listening a couple months ago, and I'm not going to tell you I go to church because I don't, but I do have a rosary around my neck. I do believe, like the last caller, I totally understand his concern and all that, but there is nothing... I mean, there's something you can do, but really the best thing to do is give it to God. Or at least that's what I'm doing lately is I'm finding who I am, my authentic self, not this funny guy anymore. I'm going to let people get to know me first, and then I'll let the funny guy come out, because I am a funny guy. Incidentally, my dream was to be in radio, but I was too afraid to do anything about that. And I knew it was going to be hard work, and I didn't want to work hard. So you give me a
funny
lot
how
of
life
reality.
Changes you, isn't it?
Well, I'll share this with you. I'm leaving for Hawaii. I'm getting emotional. And there's a job opportunity at a radio station, and I'm going to ask for it. I'm literally going to knock on the door physically with a resume and just say, hey, man, this is my dream, and I'm ready for it. And
that sounds
it.
Great.
I mean, you've really helped me. Yeah.
Eric, that Relevant Radio, we have stations in Hawaii. We're in Maui and other places. I think at least Maui. I know that much for sure. So, you can run, but you can't hide. I'll be there in Hawaii.
You,
when you get there, you'll find me there.
Dude, I'll look for you. Yeah, thank you so much. Big aloha, mahalo.
Thank you. Mahalo to you too, Eric. And by the way, you know what I think? I think you're on the journey. I think you're on your way into the Catholic Church. It may take some time, but the Lord is drawing you. And I'm happy for you. I can totally relate to your experience trying to be Steve Martin. Didn't work for me, that's for sure. So I'm glad that you're on the journey, Eric.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Safe travels to Hawaii. 888-914-9149. Let's see. Let's go to... I'm just looking at all the different calls. Let's go to Vinny in New Jersey. Hello, Vinny.
Hiya, Patrick. You're absolutely right. Giving that guy advice not to lie, because aside from the sin factor, you could always get caught, and then it's too late. There's an old saying, God will forgive, the state will not.
Well, especially the state of California when it comes to states.
Got that right.
Yeah, you know, as I was talking, Vinny, I'd like to know what you think. I was, in my mind a few minutes ago, as I was talking about tax returns, I'm equating the two. So on the one hand, you've got the question of forging a vaccine card to avoid getting the vaccine so you can keep your job or so that your child can go to a state college or something. But there is a parallel I see with objecting to the federal government's use of our tax money to fund Planned Parenthood to the tune of about $500 million a year. Nowadays, it's probably more than that. And saying, I object to that, and I don't want my tax dollars to be used. Therefore, it's okay for me to lie on my tax returns and file a false tax return to keep some money out of the hands of the government that will go to a bad purpose. I see a parallel there. And I have a feeling that most people, even though a lot of people are up in arms and they believe that falsifying a vaccine card is an okay thing to do, I'll bet you many, if not most of those same people would say it's not okay to file a fake tax return. Even though you've got a good reason for not wanting the federal government to spend your money on abortion. It's an interesting parallel, if nothing else. What do you think about it?
Just tell the truth and have one less thing to tell in confession.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, I can't argue with that, that's for sure. One thing, and thanks for the call. Romans chapter 3, verse 8, everybody, jot this down. Think about it. Pray about it. Romans chapter 3, verse 8. And why not do evil that good may come? As some people slanderously charge us with saying, their condemnation is just. So what he's saying here, Paul, is that some people slander Christians by saying, oh, look at those Christians. They do evil things for a good goal. And he's saying, no, we don't. That's slanderous. We don't do that. We won't do that. And I think that's part of this bigger question as you're evaluating the fake vaccine card question or fake tax return question, or go in several different directions here. That plays into this. This is part of the Catholic Church's basic moral principles, and that is you can't do something evil for a good goal. Now, I grant that there are some circumstances where it's an impossible situation. Are you hiding Jews in there? And you know when the Nazis come knocking on your door in 1943 and you have Jews in your attic, and if you say yes, if you tell the truth, you know that those Jews are going to be killed. If you say no, why would I be hiding Jews in the attic? You know that that's a lie. It's an impossible situation to be in. And what would I do? I would say, no, I'm not. Why would I be hiding Jews? But you know what I would try to do first? I would try to misdirect them. These are not the droids you're looking for. What I would do is I would try to answer in a way that's technically truthful, but in a way that they would understand to mean something else. Yeah, is it willful deception? Yeah, but what other choice do you have? So to try to speak the truth in a way that's technically true, Jews, why would I have Jews in the attic? Don't be ridiculous. Now, I didn't say no, I didn't lie. So I've never been in that situation. I hope I never am in that situation. And all of us, at one time or another, we have to face difficult moral quandaries. I grant that. All I'm saying is, do the right thing. Don't do something wrong, even though you may feel justified. Because then, ultimately, you've set yourself on a path that says, I can lie to get out of a difficult situation. I'm thinking about, just for a minute, let's just think about this for a minute. real quick, because I know we have to take a break. Think about those Christians, those early Catholics under the time of Roman persecution in the early church, 2nd century, 3rd century, when the sporadic, occasional, and very ferocious at times persecutions against Catholics would rear up. And one of the things that would happen is the local authorities in your town or your city, depending on where you lived, they would require everybody to come into the forum and throw a pinch of incense on a charcoal grill to show a display of worship for Caesar. There'd be a false god, you know, an image, an idol of Caesar. And if you're a Christian and you don't believe in that, you believe in Jesus, well, what if somebody said, well, listen, we can get you a fake card. We can forge one of these cards for you where it says that you did this, that you pinched some incense and put it in the fire, you worship Caesar, okay, everything. But we know you didn't really mean it, and we know you would never really do it, but here's a forged card that says that you did do it. Do you think that would be right? Do you think that would be pleasing to God? I don't think so. I really don't think so. In fact, I know not. I know so. Am I saying it right? You get what I'm saying. These are difficult questions, no doubt about that. We'll be back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show right after this. Please stay right there. Steve Martin, there he is.
You're quick, man.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
All right. I'm back. 888-914-9149. This is the Patrick Madrid Show, as you probably have figured out by now. Thank you for listening. 888-914-9149. Got a note here from Jane listening in Wausau. Actually just came in. Can you offer an updated opinion on credit card connections to the culture of death? She says, hi, Patrick. It's been a while since I believe I heard you say that you would refrain from using a credit card that supported employees to travel to wherever necessary to get an abortion. I was gathering that Citibank was part of that. As time went on, I may have heard that MasterCard was included in that category as well. Could you offer an updated insight into all this and any suggestions? Is there any credit card company that does not support the culture of death? Likely every credit card we have is ending up in this category. Do you have any advice to share? And is there a list of companies to avoid? A couple of great questions there, and thank you for sending it in. I am aware that there are some organizations, I don't remember their names off the top of my head, but if you did a little Googling, you'd find them, they compile lists and update them occasionally, lists of major corporations that do donate either directly or indirectly to Planned Parenthood. So it would be as simple as just clicking the keys and you could pull that up. And from time to time over the last few years, I've read that list on the air. But I think you're right. I think that because this list is so long and there are so many companies, food, clothing, airlines, batteries, insurance, practically any part of life that we live, I mean, unless you're a hermit living in a cabin off the grid somewhere, you're doing business with companies that do that. Not all of them, but many, many of them are. So the moral principle in play here is, you asked about credit cards. The church would not say that you're committing a sin if you have a credit card that you use, MasterCard, let's say. I have a MasterCard. You're not committing a sin by using your MasterCard, because even though that company is in some way diverting some money to Planned Parenthood, it's not something that you yourself intend to do, and your participation is so remote that you are not in any way tainted by that. You are not morally compromised by that. And this is a topic that's come up enough times on the program that I don't think I need to explain it in great detail, except to say that when your participation is proximate to the evil, let's say you're on the board of directors for MasterCard and you vote in the board meeting, yeah, let's give some money to Planned Parenthood. We are definitely implicated in the evil of abortion, no doubt about it. Let's say that you work in the mail room for MasterCard at their headquarters, wherever that may be, and you're just doing your job, you're working your 9-to-5, are you morally implicated? Not really, no, because it's so far beyond what you do that you're not really morally implicated. Now, if you want to take a stand and say, I don't even want to work for a company that does this, and you do the heroic thing and you find another job, maybe you have to take a pay cut, that's meritorious. That's virtuous, I would argue. But it's not obligatory, because you're not morally compromised by working in the mailroom. So let's go beyond that. Let's just say that you're, you know, Joe Q Public, and you have a MasterCard in your wallet or your purse, in your case, Jane, and you use that to buy whatever. You're further removed from the evil of abortion. And this is part of what we have to remember when we evaluate moral acts, and to what extent are you in any way compromised. So since you're asking me directly, my opinion would be this: if it's possible, even at times when it's difficult, but if it's possible for you to avoid doing business with organizations that do that, so much the better. It's not required, though, on the part of the church. But if you can do that, it's good to do that. So personally, not that this matters one way or the other, I find Starbucks to be socially irresponsible in certain ways, at least my evaluation of some of their stances and commitments and philosophies and things, including abortion, that I myself will go out of my way to avoid ever buying Starbucks if I can help it. But I know that if I had, for some reason, I'm buying a Starbucks cup of coffee because that's the only coffee that's available, I know I'm not committing a sin, because I'm not morally compromised by their social irresponsibility. But if I can avoid doing business with them, I try to do so. I'll just add as a footnote that nowadays it's getting so complicated that it would be difficult to be able to do anything that didn't involve a company that in some way had some ties to some kind of evil, including Congress. So, I'm sorry, including abortion. Let's go to Charlie now in Green Bay. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Patrick. I just wanted to add on the conversation that was being had about the vaccination cards and lying. I actually had called you a couple weeks ago regarding lying and what the church taught on that, and it seems to me pretty clear. But I still went ahead and I did a little bit more research on it, and I looked at what St. Augustine had to say, and you know, after getting through his book on lying, it's actually in one of his bigger works called The Retraction. But
I can't help myself. It's Retractations. It's not Retractions. It's Retractations. And that means a rewriting of some of his earlier material, in which he changes some of his thoughts, he revises them, he updates them, but he's not retracting anything. He's just simply restating it in his mind in a better way. So just remember, it's not retractions, it's retractations. But anyway, go ahead.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you for that. I got through the book, and the thing I love about the saints is that they give you the truth. They give it to you clear, and their love for God is just shown in that. And something that caught my eye was when he said that there are some people that would rather lose their eternal life to retain their temporal one. And I think this is kind of what all of this kind of gets to. I think, and this might be a hard thing to swallow for many people, but I think a lot of us are tempted to try to hold on to temporal things more so than what's eternal, what's at stake eternally.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to add that and recommend that book to people. It's actually available for free on YouTube. You can listen to it, and if you speed it up, you could get through it within within an hour. And I thought it was very good. And you know, I think if St. Augustine says something and St. Thomas Aquinas agrees with it, and that's what the church teaches, I mean, how can you depart from that?
Right, right. It's a good point. And St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas were certainly rigorous in their opposition to lying, no doubt about it. And that's the difficulty, because sometimes, like the Jews in the attic during World War II, these scenarios that people will raise, or what about Pope Pius XII? Somebody sent an email about that a little while ago. Pope Pius XII directing the priests and nuns and others in the environs of Rome to hide the Jews, and if necessary, dress them as nuns or priests to fool the Nazis who are looking for them. What about forged baptismal certificates? I mean, these are all examples that are thrown up and say, well, yeah, what about that? Well, my point is simply that, sure, there is a direct parallel here, but in the case of, and I guess I already answered this earlier, in the case of like the baptismal certificates that were false, because these Jews had not been in fact baptized, it was deceptive, that's true, but what was the option? You know, there really was no other option, so choosing the lesser of two evils in a case like that. But not to mention the fact that the church's law governs baptismal certificates, not German law, not the Nazi party in Germany. So it was not something even within the purview of the Nazi authorities to say anything one way or the other about the validity or lack thereof of those baptismal certificates. So for any given moral principle, and I think, Charlie, this is what I'm hearing you say vis-a-vis St. Augustine, for any given moral dilemma, there will always be somebody who will do, well, what about this? Well, what about that? Or how about Pope Pius XII? Or how about, you know, things of that nature? And I grant that there will always be situations where it's just a very difficult moral dilemma. But my point is simply try to do the right thing. And if at all possible, do the right thing. I mean, always do the right thing. But the key is to not compromise yourself. Because if you compromise in this, what else will you compromise yourself on? And for that matter, if you tell your children that it's okay to lie to get what they want, where else could that go? I just think that it creates a problem that could have very bad consequences in the long run. Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate the call. Let's go now to Bill New Jersey. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I'm struggling with something that my daughter, I just don't know how to respond to her boyfriend. Okay. Proposing marriage to her, but he's from a different denomination. Recently, she had she got baptized like 2 months ago. She sent a video that she could rebaptize, whatever it is that they do, non-denominational. And I'm kind of like caught in between here because of he sent me a text and says, you know, I wanted you to know first that I proposed to your daughter and that kind of thing. And call me, you know, whatever. And then, but my daughter, she was married, and you know, and I'm not sure she got the annulment done yet.
How old are the two of them? Your daughter and this man.
My daughter, she got divorced about three years ago or so. And
but I mean, what I mean is how, so she's obviously an adult. She's a grown
woman.
She's
30. Yeah, she's 30. Okay. Yeah, over 30. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So is your dilemma, you don't know what to say to this guy because he's not a Catholic?
Yeah, because she's not, she is Catholic. He's not Catholic. And now she's, you know, going to that, you know, non-denominational. So I'm kind of like caught in between. I feel like I don't know how to respond to this young guy.
Yeah.
That came and now proposed to my daughter. So he's looking for approval kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you as dad, you've got a few things that you're trying to juggle here. One would be you want to encourage your daughter to have a happy, stable marriage that's based upon a common Catholic faith. So if she's indeed seeking to get remarried, it's unwise of her to get married to a man who doesn't share that fundamental detail, which is worshiping God. And I went through this at length the other day. You probably heard that part of the show, Bill, where more often than not, in the church's 2,000 years of experience, more often than not, what happens is the Catholic party winds up leaving the Catholic Church and becomes whatever the other person is, or nothing. Or occasionally, the non-Catholic party might become Catholic, but that's comparatively more rare. Or there's friction in the marriage, and that's very difficult. And the kids say to mom, how come I have to go to Mass, but dad doesn't go to Mass, et cetera, et cetera. So that one problem right there, if I were in your shoes, Bill, trying to work that problem, I would be working it along the lines of trying to help my daughter see why, if she's going to seek to get remarried, she should find a good Catholic man to marry. Not looking down on non-Catholic folk at all, but just all of the things being equal, you're going to have a happier marriage with less friction. The other problem that you're working is your daughter, you said you don't know if she received a declaration of nullity from the church, so it may be that she's not even eligible to be dating and looking for a husband because the church presumes the validity of that marriage until and unless it can be proven to not be valid. So that would be the first step she would need to undertake to find out if she's even eligible to look to get married. And the church will help her. So I would encourage her to do that, because otherwise it doesn't really amount to a hill of beans if she's dating this other guy and thinking about getting married, if she's not even in a position to get married because she doesn't know whether or not her first marriage was valid. She needs to get that sorted out.
Right. Good point. And that's, you know, when he called me a few months ago and he actually asked me, it's, you know, that he was, you know, ready. I guess he was ready to buy a ring, kind of thing. I'm like,
yeah, I would, if I were you, Dad, I would be helping them put some brakes on this, because it sounds like it's moving very quickly. And just ask your daughter, did you receive an annulment? Did the church grant you a declaration of nullity? If not, then you've got to put the brakes on this, honey, because you're not eligible to get married. You're not even eligible to be dating this guy because your first marriage is presumed to be valid. Let's get that sorted out first. And then in the meantime, maybe you can be working with her on trying to find a Catholic guy. If it goes too quickly, it'll be over and done with. And then you're going to have two big problems on your hands, Bill. So I'm on your team. And that's my advice. I would try to work these problems simultaneously. Thank you. I'm coming right back right after this. Please stay right there. This hour is sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare, the first to offer comprehensive sharing for prescription medications. Check now to see how much you can save. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Okay, we are back. Amazing how quickly the time goes by. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate that. Let's go to Barbara in Texas. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome.
Yes. Is it Patrick?
It sure is.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So, yeah, I have a fast question, Patrick. I never would take God's name in vain, but I had this friend. I mean, this was even years back, and it's kind of been on my mind. He takes God's name in vain, and what kind of sin is that for me? I mean,
well, it may not be a sin, but it also could be a sin insofar as if you are in a position to tell him, listen, you shouldn't do that because taking the Lord's name in vain is a sin. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't do that. Could you not do that, please?
Right.
You know how at Mass, Barbara, we pray in the Confiteor for I have greatly sinned through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault, and what I have done and what I have failed to do. That's called a sin of omission, where you could have and should have done something and you didn't do it. So whether or not this is a sin in that regard, mm-hmm. or even a sin at all, it's mm-hmm. hard for me to say. But if your conscience bothers you, and in your conscience you believe that you really should say something, then I would do so. And then maybe the next time you go to confession, just to make sure your conscience isn't bothering you anymore, just bring it up and just say, and Lord, for all the times when I was in the presence of somebody who was blaspheming and I should have said something and I didn't, I'm truly sorry. Then you've left it there at the foot of the cross. You've to whatever extent in God's eyes that was sinful, you've repented of it. And then know in the future that you're not, you know, you're not the morality police, and God does not expect you to go around scolding people who take his name in vain. But if in the moment your conscience is telling you I should say something, then be bold and just say, please don't do that.
Yeah, right.
That's what I would recommend, Barbara. And honestly, it's the advice that I try to take myself. I'm not here to be correcting other people or to be, you know, pouncing on them. But if there's a moment where I feel I really should speak up, then I try to do so. Thanks, Barbara. Let's go to Mary now in Austin. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I need some assistance, maybe some book references.
Okay.
My son just lost his wife on Monday, and he has two young children, 4 and 6.
No.
And we want to find a book or something to help explain mm-hmm. that their mother won't be coming back. And we've got a large family on both sides with different denominations and the different beliefs. So yeah. I was wanting to find maybe a book that I could share, buy a couple of copies of, and maybe kind yeah. of so that we're all on the same page and they all understand.
How terrible. I'm so sorry, Mary. My heart goes out to you. My condolences.
My older grandson. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The older one is 6, and he's like, he's, you know, he goes, my mom's not coming back. And it just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
But eventually, I think he thinks like it's maybe she'll come back later, you know, kind of thing, you know, just, she's not coming yeah. back right now, you know, that kind of thing. But eventually it's going to hit him. And mm-hmm. I just want something that'll help us. And then my son, too, he's truly heartbroken because this is so unexpected.
Yeah.
So anything, any recommendations that you have for him and for the children and for us?
I do. I'll recommend this, Mary. Number one, it's a book by Dr. Peter Kraft. It's called Making Sense Out of Suffering. And the book is all about this. It's all about grieving and why does God permit these things to happen and how can I process my grief? Where do I go with this? And how do I learn more how to trust in God, etc.? So that one book right there, probably the very best book I could recommend for all of the people that you're talking about. And you'd have to take what you learn in that book and put it into the language of a child to share that with the children. But there's a lot there that you can share with the children. Then there's another book that it will also be helpful, but maybe even helpful a little later as time goes on. And that's a book called Arise from Darkness, What to Do When Life Doesn't Make Sense. Like right now, it doesn't make any sense. How did this young woman die and why is she gone? And what about her husband and children and family who are grieving her? That doesn't make any sense to us. And that book, Arise from Darkness, will also give you some insights and encouragement on how to go through this grieving process. And you can share with okay. the kids some of the things you learned from that book as well.
Okay. It's a large book. I mean, just
no,
because
no,
for
no,
time.
No,
so they're pretty short. Okay.
Yeah.
So, So nothing really in particular for small children. I tried Holy Heroes. I didn't see anything in there.
You know, this is an area I probably should know something more about, but I don't. I don't know off the top of my head what would be a good book for children about grieving. I'm sure there are, and I'm certain, Mary, that people right now are sending me emails to tell me about the book that they found, and I just don't know what they are off the top of my head. So
okay.
maybe a little searching on Amazon might help.
Right. Yeah, I saw like about 25, but I don't know do I buy all 25 of them and go through them? I'm just like, I don't even have the finances to do that anyway. So, but I appreciate your prayers, and if everybody would pray.
We certainly will. What is her name? What is her first name?
Her name is Ashley.
Ashley. We will pray for the repose of her soul. May God have mercy on her and bring her to heaven quickly if she's not already there. But we do pray for her, and also we pray for the sorrowful, grieving family, you and your son and his children and everybody. We pray for God's healing and consolation for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mary. So sorry. 888-914-9149. How about Joe now in Doylestown, Pennsylvania? Hello, Joe.
Hello. Hey, regarding vaccine mandates, I have a recommendation that worked for my daughter and friends of mine. Okay. But before I go there, I just wanted to let Cyrus know that there's a remake Bob Marley song out there called We're Jabbing. So he should probably look that up. So a friend of mine's mom, who is a nurse, sent me a religious exemption specifically written for Catholics that is very well written. And it quotes like the Lateran councils and compelling reasons why taking the vaccine goes against Catholic beliefs. So I sent this to my daughter, and she goes to university, and this was after the mayor of Philadelphia said all government entities, schools included, needed to get the jab. So we sent two of these religious exemption letters along with her narrative, and we waited for 3 weeks, no response, until the bursar's office called me asking for my daughter's semester tuition. I said, wait a minute. I said, we were okay with the weekly COVID test, and now you're saying she needs to take the vaccine? I said, I'm not paying the tuition. And so they called back 30 minutes and accepted the religious exemption. So, you know, money walks sometimes, right? So
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, if I heard you correctly, and maybe I didn't, but if I heard you correctly, the Catholic Church specifically said it is not immoral to take the vaccine. Now, I know there are many Catholics who are up in arms and they don't agree with it, but that's what the church teaches. So we have to be, I don't want to give the listeners the impression that the people who did get the vaccination for COVID, that they did anything immoral or wrong. They did not. And that's important that people hear that.
Yeah. Okay. She didn't. My family hasn't taken it. She didn't want to take it, but she wanted to go to school there.
Yeah.
And so, she sent the religious exemption in. And the interesting thing is, I sent it to several other friends. One was an educator, and one had a bio job, and both of them kept their jobs. And it just seems like a lot of private business and private business or publics, they don't want to rock the boat that could eventually lead to a lawsuit.
Right.
So. It worked for us, and so I just kind of wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you doing that. In fact, to your point, and I appreciate your phone call, Joe, thank you. I did receive several emails from people. Probably, I don't think there's enough time for me to read them. Let me see if I do, if I have time. But people who wrote in to say that they kept their jobs, I'm just looking for another one. They also were able to get into colleges and schools. So in other words, it wasn't as though you absolutely couldn't keep your job or you absolutely couldn't enroll in a college or university, because these are people who are saying in their case they did and they didn't get vaccinated. So they decided not to do that and they wound up not having to pay a heavy price. And I realize it's probably different from one place to another, but there are some encouraging examples of that. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go now to Ernesto in California. Good morning, Ernesto. Hello, Ernesto. Ernesto's not ready. Okay, here's an email that comes in from James listening in Augusta, Maine. Probably not listening right now. But he said, I just started listening to you in the last 2 weeks. I'm greatly disappointed that you mix Christianity with a political ideology. In truth, your message of Christ's love is sullied by your political posturing. Cyrus, when have I been talking about politics? I don't remember talking
about
any politics. The message of Christ's love is sullied by my political posturing. He says, I don't identify with either political party. Instead, I'm consistently searching for great leadership from anyone from either side of the aisle. Unfortunately, demonstrations of it are almost non-existent. You have a chance to represent the creator of the universe. Instead, you dilute the good news of Jesus with self-centeredness of politics. Spend an entire show justifying your station's programming model. If you do, you'll meet yourself at the end of the day having talked in circles. Your brother in Christ, Jim. Cyrus, I am baffled. I have no clue what Jim's talking about.
Because you're just talking in circles.
Are you sure it's this show, Jim, that you're thinking of? Because I stay as far away as I possibly can from politics. It's sort of a stated goal of mine. Because everybody, I mean, look at you. I'm sure you're a great guy. But look at you. You're up in arms. And politics has a way of doing that. So
come
I try
on,
to
man.
Avoid. No, seriously, Maddie. I try to avoid politics, as they say, like the plague.
Come so, on, man.
Seriously. I'm being serious. I'm being serious.
Come on, man. What are we talking about?
Well, we're not talking about politics, that's for sure. So, Cyrus, I'm baffled. I don't know what to say. Jim, I think you're barking up the wrong tree here. I really do. And how about this? Do me a favor. If you said you've been listening the last 2 weeks, go back if you're willing to do this. Help me out here, okay? Go to relevantradio.com/Patrick, and everything is archived. And hour by hour, it'll give you a breakdown of what I talked about. If you could please help me out and send me like a link to it was this hour, second half of this hour, whatever. I'll go back and listen to it, but I really think you're barking up the wrong tree. I think you might have me confused with some other program. I'm not sure what it would be. But we don't talk about politics. Unless it's absolutely necessary, we try to avoid it. Am I over-explaining it, Cyrus? I think I am. But anyway, the standing invitation. I think that would be the best thing. And there you have it. The end of the program. 3 hours went by in a flash. Oh, I look forward to 3 hours again with you tomorrow, 21 hours from now. And until then, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
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 Now!